Easter, and joy is in the air, right? This is the season for new birth, new beginnings, and new life, for Easter bunnies and Easter eggs and hope and celebration. And yet Easter, from a theological standpoint, can be challenging because we wonder, are the resurrection stories literally true? Did Jesus really come back from the dead? Did he appear to his disciples in physical form, spend some time with them, and later physically ascend up into the sky? Well, traditional Christianity would tell us, yes, it happened. Just believe. Well, it's easier said than done. For one thing, which of the Gospels are we to take as true? Because the descriptions of the resurrection vary. So, for example, 3 days after the crucifixion, who went to Jesus' tomb? Was it three women, or two women, or one? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell it differently, and Paul doesn't mention it at all. And then, for whoever went to the tomb, who there announced Jesus' resurrection? Was it a young man in white robes? Was it a supernatural angel? Or was it two young men in dazzling apparel? You see, the stories differ. And on that morning, when the tomb was found empty, the morning that we celebrate as Easter morning, did the resurrected Jesus reveal himself to who was there? Well, the Gospels of Mark and Luke say no. The Gospels of Matthew and John say yes. And there are many more contradictions. Well, then we wonder, well, who wrote these accounts after all, these accounts that we are supposed to literally believe? They were not written by eyewitnesses. They were not written by Jesus' disciples. We know now that they were written by anonymous authors, some 30, 40, 60, maybe even 70 years after Jesus' death. And then finally, as we consider the veracity of these accounts, let's be honest. They are just fantastical. It is very hard to believe that they actually happened, that somehow that stone in front of the tomb was miraculously removed, that Jesus came out of it in a resuscitated body, that he spent time with his disciples. Some of the reports even saying that he ate and drank with them and could be physically touched, and that later he bodily ascended up into the sky in a way that you could have videotaped had you had been there, and had there been videotape. You see, these accounts just strain credulity, don't they? They strain credulity. They're just very hard to believe. Now, I'm not saying that you can't believe them. You are welcome to believe them. Listen, you get to believe whatever you want. But often people think that if they don't believe these accounts were literally true, that they can't be Christian. Not so, say we in Unity. There's more than one way to be Christian, and by the way, there always has been. And there is more than one way to interpret these events and find personal meaning in them. So the late Episcopal Bishop John Shelby Spong offered an alternative view that aligns quite beautifully with what we teach in Unity. And this really resonates for me. He said that the resurrection may not have happened and probably didn't happen exactly as it was described in the Gospels. But something did happen. Something very big happened. Spong writes, "Something of great significance happened after the crucifixion of Jesus that had the capacity to transform the disciples from from fleeing cowards. Remember after Jesus was crucified? They were terrified, right? They ran for the hills. Something transformed them from fleeing cowards into unflinching persons of enormous strength to change the way they conceptualized God and to give birth to a new holy day, Sunday. Whatever Easter was, it called the disciples beyond fear. It called them beyond tribal identity. And it called them beyond their sense of their own mortality. In other words, something happened after the crucifixion that was so moving and profound, it transformed Jesus' disciples. Perhaps they saw him in a vision. Perhaps they heard his voice. Perhaps they simply had an overwhelming sense of his presence. Whatever it was, these loyal followers experienced Jesus as a living reality, just as many people do today. To this day, many people continue to feel and know Jesus' spirit and presence, and I am fortunate to be one of them. So if we assume that Jesus somehow made himself known after the crucifixion, we don't have to know exactly how, but if we assume that somehow he did, then we can move on to really what is the most important question. What did it mean? What did it mean? So if Jesus died and came back in some other form, whatever form that was, that tells us two things. First, it tells us that life is eternal. Physical death is not the end, but rather physical death is a transition to another state of being. And secondly, Jesus' return tells us that everything comes around right in the end, that a higher good prevails. You know, after the crucifixion, Jesus' followers must surely have felt that all hope was lost. But that wasn't the end of the story. They continued to experience his presence and his influence in powerful, even life-changing ways. And his ministry grew exponentially. And so we can see these two lessons being very clear in the fact that Jesus returned in some way, somehow. The resurrection tells us that after death, there is rebirth. You see, that is not only true for what happened to Jesus, that is true for what happens to us throughout our lives, if we take it symbolically. It happens over and over again. We die to an old way of being, and a new way of being emerges, right? You know this. After we lose a loved one, if we go through a divorce, if we lose our job, if we experience a major change in our life situation, an old identity passes away, and we assume a new identity, usually a higher identity, right? We are better for what we have come through. And this happens repeatedly throughout our lives. It's probably happening in your life right now in one way or the other. So metaphysically, Good Friday and Easter together represent this pattern. This pattern of death and rebirth, of dying and rising. And taken together, they show us the path to a transformed self. Because you see, there is first the crucifixion, and then the resurrection, and then an evolution of who we are, and a higher self begins to emerge. Most of us, I haven't done this in so long, I'm pretty excited. Most of us can readily recall our crucifixion experiences. Is it not so? I know I can. So these are the times in your life when you went through intense pain in one form or another. You may have felt that all hope was lost. You may have felt that you had no faith. You may even have had what we sometimes call a dark night of the soul. But something got you through it. Something kept you going. Because here you are. Here you are. And you are stronger and you are wiser for having come through that experience. Is it not so? So looking back, we can see. We can see the pattern. We can see that our trials led to triumph. We can see that a breakdown led to a breakthrough. We can see that our hardest times led to our greatest growth. They served a purpose. And these are faith builders. These experiences are faith builders in our lives because they remind us there is a great power within us. There is an immense power within us. We call it the Christ presence or God within us. And when we most need it, it kicks in and it sees us through. It is there for us. Not only is it there for us, it is who we are. It is who we most truly and deeply are. It is our divine nature, our true self. You know, Jesus, I believe, wanted more than anything for us to be reassured that no matter what was going on in our lives, we would be okay. To have that kind of bedrock faith, because he had it, didn't he? Always, always telling us, hey, stop worrying so much. Everything's going to be okay here, right? So often he said, fear not, fear not. Can you imagine trying to impart to us this consciousness, this knowing that truly everything is going to come around right? Trying to help us see that so that we could live in peace and we could live in joy. He wanted us to have that bedrock faith. Well, Unity co-founder Myrtle Fillmore had that kind of bedrock faith, and she even took it a step further. This always blows me away. She said this: when you are going through a hard time in your life, be grateful in advance for the good you know will come from it. Think about that. In your dark night of the soul, in your hardship, in your crucifixion experience, right in the midst of that, you are already being grateful because you know that good will come of it. You are anchored in that. You feel that. You live that. That's what you have your sights set on. You know, we saw an incredibly moving and powerful example of this kind of faith, this kind of vision, about a month ago. Some of you may have seen this. It was a video that was released by the Ukraine president, Volodymyr Zelensky. I thought of this so much, this kind of faith. You may have seen it. The video began with, and I would show it, but it's too hard to watch in the beginning. The video began with heartbreaking and horrifying scenes of bombed out buildings, of mass graves, of grieving families. And the narrator was saying, this was somebody's father, this was somebody's child, this was somebody's home, this is where someone worked. But then about halfway through the video, there was a shift, and it was replaced by images of the future, of what could be, of shining new buildings and people being together. And the narrator, who I presume to be Zelensky, said this: we Ukrainians already know what will come next. We will win. And there will be new houses. There will be new cities. There will be new dreams. There will be a new story. There will be. There's no doubt. And those we've lost will be remembered. And we will sing again. And we will celebrate anew. Yes, Ukraine was beautiful. But now it will become great. Great Ukraine. What incredible faith, what incredible vision that truly is an inspiration to the world. You know, that is the spirit of resurrection, is it not? That is the spirit. So my question for you today is, can you feel that spirit in your own life? Can you feel that resurrecting energy within you? Those new possibilities stirring within you, something ready to be released so that a new can be born. The old will pass away, the old thoughts, the old habits, old pattern, old ways of being. But something new is being born, something grand and glorious, a new you, the true you. The great actor and director, Cecil B. DeMille, was once asked to write a play about life after death. He was looking for inspiration, and he found it in, of all things, a water beetle. He wrote, "I was up on a lake in the Maine woods. The canoe was drifting. I was reading, resting, searching for an idea. I looked down in the water, for my little craft had drifted to where the lake was only about 4 inches deep. And there, in a world of mud and wet, were water beetles. One crawled up on the gunwale, stuck the talons on his legs into the woodwork, and died. I let it alone, and I turned to my reading. The sun was hot. In about 3 hours, I looked at my water beetle again. He was parched. His back was cracking open. I watched, and out of the back of that dead beetle, I saw crawling a new form, a moist head, then wings, a most beautiful dragonfly. It scintillated all the colors of the rainbow. As I sat watching, it flew farther in a second than the water beetle had crawled in days. It hovered above the surface, just a few inches from the water. Beetles beneath, they did not know it was there. I took my fingertip and moved the shriveled water beetle husk from the canoe's gunwale. It fell back into the lake and sank down to the mud-covered bottom. The other water beetles crawled awkwardly to see what it was. It was a dead body. They backed away from it. But meanwhile, the dragonfly circled and swooped, its wings flashing in the sun. And DeMille thought, if the great creator of the universe would do that for a water beetle, why not for a human being? You see, we too are meant to soar, not only in the afterlife, but in this life. This Easter Sunday, whatever challenge you are facing in your life, it will not hold you back. It will not keep you down. It cannot, because you are the very self-livingness of God. You are the unsinkable, invincible you. You are powerful, you are strong, you are resilient, and you have incredible life energy within you. You have resurrected many times before in your life, and you will again. You will conquer, you will overcome, and you will rise. That is the message of Easter. That is the message of Jesus. That is your message about your resurrection. So repeat after me and say it like you mean it. Say it loud and proud. I am ready for my resurrection. I am ready for my resurrection. I claim my highest good together. I claim my highest good, and I shall rise, and I shall rise, and so you shall. Happy Easter, everyone. Thank you. Let's turn now for a few moments of centering. We'll follow that with our floral procession and the profound meaning of that. Just take a moment now to turn within. Close your eyes, breathing in deeply. Release and let it go. Just feeling the blessings of this day upon you. Feel the grace of God within you. Feel the presence of Jesus in your own heart. Today, sending that calming message to every part of you. You're okay. All is well. And all will be well. Imagine our master teacher putting his arm around you, an arm of encouragement. You sense that great peace and wisdom in this amazing soul, wanting so much for you to have that same peace, that same wisdom, same faith and assurance. It is there within you, wanting to come into fuller expression. I invite you to sink a little bit more deeply into your heart. Appreciating there, this unique life you're living. All your crucifixions and resurrections, the glory of God expressing as you. Take a moment now, in a minute of silence, to connect with your God within and feel what is emerging for you next. Feel that energy of resurrection bubbling up within us. We are wide open to our highest good, to our new possibilities. We are ready to release what no longer serves us and leave it behind, for we have greater things to do, greater ways to be, as we draw ever closer to that presence of God that we are and express it as the light that only we can shine in this world. We are so grateful. We are grateful on this Easter morning. With all our hearts, we say to our way shower, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.